We river dance to keep from crying. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciation to the fellas of Payne and Pendergast. Always have fun in that cross.
Yes, sir.
I got to admit that. All right, let's get going on a Tuesday here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. 713-572-4610 is the number to text because that is the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. Get involved with the program if you could, please, and thank you there or also on the Mo Karam Injury Lawyers live streams, both on the YouTube page, Sports Radio 610, and on Twitch, 610 Houston. I am wearing a cowboy hat right now, and it is about 95% just to make me feel better after a late night clutch loss from the Rockets that, you know, just a few moments or a few things within that game decided between you having a series that was bright and had you gave you an opportunity to really, you know, clamor for something as you continue to like build this team. And now you're in a very precarious situation, down 3-1 to the Golden State Warriors after that loss. What haunts you the most about this particular loss? Or maybe you can even go with this road trip, like this swing of the series. 713-572-4610.
I'm gonna give you several haunting things that come to mind, but I don't think they're gonna haunt this team the most. Number one, and we mentioned it with Sean and Seth, free throws. I mean that's haunting,
dude.
That's haunting.
Oh my god.
I mean that's just that it was 12 missed free throws, several clutch free throws. That is a and here's where I'm going. There are a lot of reasons. It was a one possession game. But there are a lot of reasons that you can kind of point to and say, boy, if they had only done that different. Okay, so that's one.
Well, I mean, we don't have to run by that. Like, you shoot 61% from the free throw line. We're talking college basketball numbers. And even then we're talking about, hey, y'all might want to pick this up.
Yeah.
Like, that is deeply frustrating. And, I mean, it's one here and one there for a lot of guys who, I think one of the things about that is you got, Amen Thompson misses a couple.
Mm-hmm.
And you have, like, Jalen Green missing a couple. And the reason why I point out those guys in particular, and, I mean, there's other guys that you can point to as well, but the reason why I point out those guys in particular is that they need a portion of their game to be aggressive towards the rim.
Sure.
And especially for Jalen Green, who sometimes has been in this series a little lackluster finishing, if you're getting aggressive down to the paint, one of the things that you're attempting to do is draw fouls.
Yeah.
But if you're not going to be lethal on the back end, if you're not going to make the team pay on the other end on the free throw line, you neuter that even as well. And I think that is the insidious part about this. It's not just that you're missing those points here or there to the tune of 12 missed free throws when you lost a 3-point game, right?
Yeah.
You do the math, that's very simple.
Yeah.
But on top of that, is it also changes the aggression that you need to have in the game. So like in the entire play style shifts because you're not able to capitalize on the other team's fouls because you're attacking into the paint.
And here's the other part of it that is really haunting. It wasn't just this game. Remember after game two and they had made all those free throws, and we kind of discussed, you know, bringing up the point, well, can they just flip the switch and all of a sudden be a good free throw shooting team? No, they can't. We know the answer. So that's haunting. Now, the obvious one, and with very good reason, and it might have significant long-term effects, is Jalen Green. I mean, I was listening to Charles Barkley, not after the game, I went straight to bed, but this morning, he just put it out, you know, very eloquently, as Chuck is wont to do. You just cannot, in his own way, you just cannot have that. You cannot go single digits in 3 out of 4 games, and to the point where, even if he bounces back and scores 30, you know, tomorrow night, I think the ship has left the yard already because there's no pressure on him now. They're down 3-1. They're down 3-1. You know,
right? That's right. Let's not bury the lead. I guess is the way to
say. So it's like, oh, look, he came back and scored 30. No. These first four games, which kind of established, you know, the tone and probably the outcome of the series, he was a nowhere man. Like he did not show up, and you can't have that.
No, and this is beyond the idea of the defense kind of taking you out of this. It is deeply problematic when your coach has to look at you and basically decide that you are a net detriment to what's happening here as a foundational player for what you're doing, right? I think you get back to what you were talking about, like, hey, you have 38, but this is the issue with this particular player in Jalen Green in the up and down nature of it. It's one of the reasons why consistency has been the watchword for him all season long is when you get to these types of situations to try and be a 16 game player as opposed to an 82 game player, obviously pointing to the playoffs versus the regular season, it is on any given night, the people who produce on any given night are the stars. Mm-hmm. Those are the guys that have that expectation. The people that are, hey, I can give you 38 and then maybe I give you 8 and maybe I'll put in 15.
Yeah.
Like those are role players.
Those are role players.
And that has been one of the major questions is, can you find that? Now, I do want to bring you to the prior to Beaumont, Texas himself. You know who I'm talking about.
That's my third one.
Kendrick Perkins?
No, no. Oh, you're talking about what he said about him.
Yes, what he said about Jalen Green. I thought
he was about Tomball, Texas.
No, no, no. The prior to Beaumont, Texas.
Yeah.
Would Jimmy Butler get mad if you say he was from Beaumont? Because he absolutely seems like he would fight you behind the scenes.
He would get pissed.
Yeah, he would get very upset.
I feel like anybody would get pissed if they wasn't from Beaumont.
Wait, now the people from Beaumont about to be mad.
No, I'm just saying.
Like, no, you're right.
Like, no, I'm not from Beaumont. I'm from Houston. You're right. Whatever.
Yeah, I heard this, and it's interesting.
So this is Kendra Perkins on Twitter last night, 12:37 a.m., so I guess technically this morning if you want to view it that way. Yes, Jalen Green is struggling, but some of you casuals that never played the game at any level, let alone, interestingly enough, the playoffs, need to back the hell off. This is the young fella's first rodeo, and he's got to learn from this, but all the hate this young man is getting weak. Like, how do you parse that out? Because I do think that there is something to be said for, I saw, like, you know, there is a level of figuring out that he needs to do when it comes to these particular circumstances, when it comes to the ways that playoff basketball goes. But I don't think that speaks to all of this.
No, it doesn't. Look, that's a very small thing. And again,
now, it sounds like he wasn't watching the Rockets all season, man.
Yes.
Because this is Jalen Green, man. Like, he has some moments where he is balling, but he is very inconsistent, man.
No, for sure.
He could put up a 38-point game and then a 9-point game and then a 27-point game and then a 12-point game. That's him.
I think that is a casual. And I know he's from the Houston area, but he hasn't watched, to Figgy's point. And here's the other thing. Let's just eliminate this whole, the kid this and the kid that. I can call him a kid because he's younger than mine. But this is his fourth season in the NBA. This is his fourth season. It's his first playoff run. But
and it's first on a like truly winning basketball team. And I think you will absolutely agree. Or I guess maybe I shouldn't tell you what you agree to. That's kind of wild. Yeah. But I believe, let me ask you, would you agree that playing winning basketball is different than just playing basketball in the league, especially knowing the ways and where this Houston Rockets team was prior to at least last season and definitely to the ways that they were playing this year?
Look, that is absolutely true. But players who were either 22 or 23 in their fourth season in the NBA and didn't shrivel, didn't wilt like this. I just wrote down a couple. To De'Aaron Fox, his fourth season in the NBA in the playoffs, 27.4 points per game. Jimmy Butler, we're familiar with his work.
Very familiar.
Fourth season in the NBA, fourth season in the NBA in the playoffs, 25.6. Tyrese Maxey, 29.2 in his fourth season.
In playoff, these are playoff averages.
In the playoffs.
Got you.
In the playoffs. And they were all 22 or 23 years old. So don't come at me with that. Because players who are young are not really young in NBA years. You know? And that's why we're going to talk more about Jalen Green specifically, but it's haunting. And that's a weak cop out of an excuse right there.
It's kind of haunting because even when they wasn't in the playoffs, man, he was up and down like this. So it wasn't like he was out here averaging 25 points all season long, and then, you know, the price is too light in the playoffs.
Right.
It was doing that in the season.
Mm-hmm. No, for sure. I wanted to give just some more context, but I think I do lean a lot more to where you guys are. It's one of the things that, you know, when we talk about the prototypes in the playoffs, you know, where do people slot? And I think that even in this conversation, we have slotted him in as almost like a Corey Brewer type, like, he might go off for 51 time, but I don't think that you can expect that he is going to give you, even his season average of 21, 22, what have you, I don't think you can expect that that is the every night situation, especially when you saw, like, the turnovers, right? It wasn't even just that the scoring wasn't there in the same degree as that the entirety of this switches up where, I mean, even instances where you need him to be kind of the offensive engine of sorts, or at least the initiator, and the defense has switched up to where we are now doubling the basketball off of a pick and roll. And he's picking up the ball very high, and he's, you know, trying to find a way to pass out of it. And he ultimately does, but you can see, like, there's there's just the level of inexperience,
yeah,
but then also just lack of comfort and discomfort with this and all of those things, missing free throws, you know, not being able to finish, yeah, not being able to get to your spot and score while also having all of this learning curve. All of it just adds up to not giving you enough from the performance.
I mean, what has he played? 350 games? Somewhere in that neighborhood? I would have to. I'm just estimating myself.
He don't miss no games.
He's won in that arena.
Iron Man.
He's played 350 games. He doesn't miss any games, as Figgy just said. You can miss me with that, man.
All right.
You can miss me with that.
So I think that we've adequately done this, and I don't want this to be a bash on Jalen Green because he ain't the only reason.
Well, we mentioned the other things that are haunting. I think another thing that's haunting, frankly, and you have a great case on this, is how was that menace Draymond Green still in the game? How the hell was he still in the game?
It was kind of laughable.
I was like, oh.
Oh, y'all was laughing?
When we were texting, as
I was I'm like, look at what he's doing.
I knew as soon as it happened, I knew.
They were not the dead ball Tari Eason, yeah, where Tari Eason is pulled down,
yeah,
and then Draymond Green very intentionally.
Yes.
Like, I think let's be honest about this,
yes,
right? Especially Mr. Mr. Wild Legs himself,
yeah,
talking about this is just the way my legs move when I play basketball. No, it's not.
Nah, man.
We have played basketball. The legs don't move like that. You're not knocking people's head into the hardwood.
Nah, you need to play football, man.
I am so very sick of the NBA doing these things where they are acquiesced to him because y'all are only serving to make this happen some more. Like, you're only letting...
I knew there was
a flagrant foul... When was the last time you saw a dead ball flagrant foul?
I know.
Word, just to get out of him, throwing him out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, it did not torpedo the league when, what was that, in 2016? Mm-hmm. When he got thrown out of that game?
Yeah.
Because in the finals, it didn't torpedo the league. You can give him the mm-hmm. adequate response for his actions,
yeah,
and limit these antics. Because the tough thing about it as well, right, is Draymond should not have been in that game just for, like, disciplinary, just mm-hmm. for ethical basketball reasons, just for morality. Mm-hmm. But also...
For morality, yeah.
No, it's the principality of the matter, Smokey. No, yeah, like, that is where we are.
Yeah.
But... It also then comes back and backfires because mm-hmm. it is when Alperen Şengün is going heat rock in the second half,
yeah,
it is against Quentin Post. It is against Trace Jackson Davis, mm-hmm. if that is his name. I know there's three names in there. I know that those are the three. I don't know which order they're in. But right when those guys are on the floor, Alperen Şengün is going ham. When Draymond Green gets back on the floor, and this is a testament, I will give him credit, to his defensive prowess, mm-hmm. is that's when you see Alperen Şengün maybe start to slow back down late in the fourth quarter. And that was tough because it felt like they had found the engine that yeah. would work for them offensively, at least in this game.
Yeah.
And it slowed down at the wrong situation because Draymond Green is still in a game he doesn't deserve.
All right, so all those things are haunting. None of them are what haunting me the most. Is what's
ooh,
haunting me the
most. There was you left a you None left a secret I had final
the,
option.
I got the big finish. I got the you gotta have the big finish. This is what haunts me the most. Ime Udoka, you talk about Jalen Green. Oh, you just can't do that in the playoffs. You cannot not show up 3 out of 4 games, and that's true. You cannot start both halves of a game like that. That is crucial. Just getting worked. They were, and I was texting you guys. I think I texted you. They only had, by my estimation, 4, maybe 5 good defensive possessions in the entire first quarter. They were on skates. They got run early, big time. And then what happened to start the second half? After all these adjustments, after let's see what we can do on offense. Let's get out there and really take it to them to start the second half. 18-1? Isn't that what it was? 18-1? That's on Ime. That's what haunts me the most. You cannot do this. You cannot have a head coach that starts both halves, and especially on offense, that's the second part of it, where they have long stretches of just clunky uncertainty, unable to get into the offense the right way.
Yeah.
That's on Ime, man, and it pains me. I love that guy.
Yeah, I felt like, do you feel like Ime made some adjustments at all during this series?
He has. Like, especially, I can
speak. Because I give Steve Kerr a lot of credit for making adjustments, even after winning a game.
Mm-hmm.
Because usually when you win a game, you kind of stick with what won you the game. He was still making adjustments, man.
And I think we'll talk more about this even as we go along during the show, because I have a question that I love to bring out in a playoff series on whether or not this is a solved series. I'll explain what that means later on. But, yeah, man, there's a clear coaching advantage. We knew this coming mm-hmm. in. I guess the question then becomes, how stark is it I do want to give Ime his credit. I do think the defensively saw like the matchup zone of sorts that they were running out there did find its way to be effective once they settled into it. And you could tell that was not necessarily a matchup zone that they had run a ton this year, even though they've used a zone.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they were found a way to utilize it with Steph Curry on the floor, something I did not think you'd be able to do. So, like, there have been things that they have done to get themselves playing better basketball. You saw them flying around at points. It just feels like even as a team and with a coaching staff, there isn't a consistency and there's not a lot of places to make that up when you're playing against a team that has this kind of institutional knowledge, this kind of experience in the Warriors. And unfortunately, you just let the margins, you lost on the margins in too many places, and all the little losses added up to a big loss, a 109-106 loss to be specific, that puts the Rockets down 3-1 in this series. And now they move into the part of the program where they have to try and stave off elimination. And
it's a must win.
It is a must win. Lopez, can
yes,
we confirm?
Is. Yes, it is.
Okay, it is a must win. And we'll talk more about that as we continue on in the show. But, of course, the next game on Wednesday back at Toyota Center. In fact, we'll talk about that, I'm certain, with B. Scott when he joins us next hour. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Just getting going on a Tuesday. Coming up next, a team that we've neglected a little bit in this time period is the Astros. Got a victory yesterday. And can we attribute this to Jose Altuve in a very particular way? I'll explain what I mean next.